More comfortable.
The public is notoriously prone to illusions, Mr.
Pike.
Mr. Pike, illusions. I'm the ombudsman, but I can't just...
Oh, of course not.
Wave a wand. That's an illusion the public come into this office with.
Yes.
Nor can I overrule departmental heads. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a moralist. Do you know, there's only one qualification for this job, ombudsman.
One?
An adult mind. You understand?
Oh, yes, yes.
Don't count the screws. Give a bit here, take a bit there. Never mind the small print. What's going to be the best all round?
Yes.
Across the board and at the end of the day.
Yes.
And between the bureaucrats in this town hall on one side and the public on the other, a good percentage, well, not the most reasonable of people. It's no easy... No. What can I do for you?
My house is sinking underwater. It began to subside last Wednesday, then the water broke through, and last night it started listing badly. It can only be a matter of time.
Foundering, in fact, with all hands.
Wife, mother-in-law, I swam up.
Which is why you're dripping now. It's all right, the woman will mop up.
They're up in the bedroom, and it's only going under gradually, but...
Of course.
It can break up at any time.
Of course.
I'd like to avoid that, please. And I'd be grateful if you could save my womenfolk from drowning.
Yes. Well, now, physical means I can't command. I mean, I can't ring up the playing fields and say, take the nets out of the goals and bag the Madame Pike as they're swilled by in the flood. No, that's out of the question.
Yes.
Well, I could start with this, and then the gardeners would be down to the allotments borrowing them to protect their raspberries. If you can't have the coal nets, how can the municipality aid your case?
The house is sinking because of the municipality. The borough surveyor flooded it.
Oh, well now we've got an entirely different kettle of fish. This is entirely within my province.
The stream ran past the house.
And now it runs through it.
Well, the surveyor put a new sluice in upstream, a much bigger one.
And your house is well on its way to disappearing under the waves. Are you the strawberry gardener?
Look, Mr. Baldwin.
No, you are, aren't you?
Well, I grow strawberries.
The garden where the stream loops around the greenhouses?
It did.
Yeah, the strawberry gardener. We've watched you, if I may say so, with some envy.
Watched me?
Yeah, with binoculars, through that window. A good view across the roofs.
Oh.
Well, not officially. No. Just passing lunchtimes. Then we took up ping pong, and now... it all seems to have fizzled out. People just sit in the canteen talking, letting their coffee go cold.
Mr. Bullfrog...
It seems, speaking without experience, to be an ideal existence.
Oh, it was.
Your wife, Mrs. Pike, transplanting the lettuces. The older lady pruning, cutting roses, and you in your straw hat... She is your wife, isn't she?
Oh, yes.
And the older lady's your mother-in-law?
Yes.
Oh, thank God for that. Thank God that one illusion isn't shattered. Oh, thank God, I say, that the strawberry gardeners are on the level and the whole enterprise doesn't turn out to be one more squalid ménage à trois.
Mr. Bullfrog, the ladies are in danger of foundering.
No, well, now they mustn't be allowed to. Give me your green card.
I haven't got one.
It used to be pink.
No.
But it did. We went over to green when we got the computer.
Mr. Bullfrog, I haven't got a green card.
No, everybody has got a green card, Mr. Pike. You haven't collected it.
Ah, no.
Ah, fair enough. You couldn't know. Mrs. Burgess, record officer in the front hall.
Need I get it?
No, we can't proceed without it.
I'll go for it.
No. Oh, no, just a minute. Oh, we had a bit of a snag. The office is locked.
Oh, well, I'll find the lady, Mrs.
Burgess.
Mrs. Burgess.
That's just it. I couldn't really advise you where to look. She has a sister who lives out your way.
She's not here?
No, it's a day off. Needle in the haystack job, isn't it?
But it really is urgent.
The green card puts solid ground under our feet. Mrs. Burgess might even look in this afternoon and forgotten her umbrella, perhaps, or something.
Yeah. I desperately need an assurance from you.
Speak French.
Well, what I'm most worried about...
Ah, we've overstated the case, haven't we?
Yes.
Exaggerated?
A little.
Well, we all do it.
I was anxious...
Of course. No offence. It's rare to meet somebody from among the public with sufficient grasp on reality to... time presses. Let's get down to bedrock. Now, are your ladies in imminent danger of drowning?
No.
But the house is subsiding?
Yes.
How badly?
Well, water is up to the dining room ceiling. Ah. The surges send it flooding through the bedroom.
Yeah, but the actual sinking of the house, I mean the roof disappearing under the wave, what time scale are we talking about? Hours? Days? Weeks? Months? Years? What sort of span?
Weeks.
Good. Now, if the worst should happen, what means of escape?
We'll have a boat tied up to the drainpipe, bobbing about outside the bedroom window.
Really? Oh. Let's have a look through the binoculars.
Well, what I need most desperately from you, Mr. Bullfrog, is an assurance that our plight is at least under active consideration.
Quite so. Focus up. Yes, there it is. Rocking on the waves. I remember that boat. You used to use it for gathering watercress in happier times. And there's the fisherman on the other bank, baiting his line.
That's it. He's waiting for Mrs. Pike.
Isn't
she gave me an ultimatum. She's going to go away with a fisherman if I fail to get an undertaking about the sluice.
The fisherman? I'd be disappointed to think there's been any...
No, there hasn't. But Mrs. Pike is at her wit's end with my... my impracticality. And so is Mrs. Ponting.
Ponting?
Mother-in-law.
Calls herself Ponting, does she? What sort of impracticality?
In the house. I couldn't get a mortgage because they said it was liable to subsidence.
And rightly.
So I borrowed Mrs. Ponting's life savings, Mr. Ponting's legacy, in fact, and bought it with that.
You put the old girl's acres into a sinking asset.
As it turned out. Then we liked gardening, as you saw, and I threw up my job, tried to make a full-time go of it.
And we can guess where that ends.
We've been sold up, all the furniture. We've been sitting on orange boxes, living on tins of dog food.
An unrelieved diet of dog food.
Well, except when the fisherman's been good enough to present us with a trout.
Does he press attentions with his trout?
Oh, he presents it decorously and goes away, but he's been coming to the same spot fishing for 2 years. And in that instinctive way ladies have, Mrs. Pike and Mrs. Ponting know that when the time arrives, he's prepared to drive them away among the hooks and bait and so forth in his little van.
Just a minute. I'd like to have a look. Yes. I can see it. Behind him on the far shore, a little grey Austin. Yeah, well, we've missed these developments. I don't think we've had the binoculars on you... Well, it's a good year since we changed to ping-pong. I don't think we've had the binoculars on you for, well, over a year.
There have been other things, sort of impracticalities. No ill feeling, but the ladies have had enough. If I don't go back with a clear answer, they'll leave with the fishermen.
Yes, I can see both sides. But it's hardly grounds, is it, for asking the surveyor to hold his water indefinitely? If you'll pardon the expression.
Oh, I'm not asking the surveyor to hold his water indefinitely. But can he release it in periods of fine weather or at more frequent intervals so that we have a steady flux, as it were, instead of these bore waves every 3 days swirling through the bedroom?
I know. We've come a long way.
We have come a long way. You're on the other shore, Mr. Pike. You've arrived. You've landed.
If I could go back... And say...
Well, of course you could. You've matured, Mr. Pike. Matured visibly. You came in here dripping wet, talking nonsense, as you yourself admitted. In fact, wouldn't it be true to say, Mr. Pike, that up to this point, your life has been one long delusion?
Oh, well, I...
Now, here you are, coming up with something really practical. A compromise.
daylight, common sense, not counting the screws. In principle, you're not saying, shoot the Borough Surveyor, hang the town council.
No.
No, no, you're merely asking, can there be a bit of give and take about the opening of the sluice? Oh, pardon. My tea and biscuits. Ah, thank you, Nellie.
If I can go back now and say that we've agreed, then, at a later stage...
Respect my tea break, please.
Oh, sorry.
My predecessor used to work through his breaks. He got no peace. They'd ring him up at home, they'd nobble him at the football match. He got ulcers, his wife left him. He's working on a television assembly line. Well, I stand no messing. I'll let them have it with both fists.
I don't think I need keep you, Mr. Bullfrog. If I could just go back and say...
My break finishes at 10 past on that clock. He wasn't the ombudsman. He was the public's chopping block. Oh, I don't stand for it. I hit them. That's why I have these big rooms, so that I can lay into them. I smash the specs. And there was an old bloke when I was on the chest x-ray years ago. I mention this because it really was what taught me about the public. And this old man came up to my desk. He was a country sort of chap. Mottled skin. Didn't quite know whether he should sit down or what to do with his hat. Try kind of smile on his face. A bit deaf. So I asked his name. He leaned forward, a tooth or two missing. I just couldn't catch what he said. So, patiently and very distinctly, I asked him his name again. He looks round at the people, grinning at them. Everybody was watching him by then. My name, he announced, is Pisser Harris. The whole room went up. Old blokes rocking with tears in their eyes. Old ladies falling about. Even the commissioner in his uniform, face like a big red balloon, hooting into his handkerchief. And that was just the beginning. It happened every day. I mean, you don't look up when you're doing a job of that sort. When I was least expecting it, he'd be back in the chair.
Pisser Harris,
he'd shout. We had the door watched. He came in through the radiologist's entrance. We put a policeman on that, and he climbed in through the window. He didn't even need to speak. I mean, the gallery rose to him. Good old Pisser, they'd shout. It was like a circus. I woke, sweating, in the middle of the night. A nightmare's about it.
It must have been awful. But, Mr. Bullfrog, if I could just make the point, the sluice may be opened again, even as we're sitting here, and if that happens, she'll leave me.
It's in hand. I mean, don't worry. Oh. I was off 3 weeks with a nervous breakdown. I couldn't face that room. So, they moved me to my own part of the town. Well, there was no trouble there. I knew the people, and they knew me. A bit of a charade, really. My old Sunday school superintendent, Miss Parker. I mean, I've known her since I was 3. Ridiculous. What's your name, Miss Parker? She saw the fun. My name, Miss Parker, she said. What's your name, Arnold? You had to laugh. Anyway, I explained. I have to ask you, love, for official purposes, what's your name? She looked a bit self-conscious. Then very clearly she said, Pisser Harris. When I came round, I was in Bancroft Royal with the electrodes on my head. I am sorry you're bothered about your wife.
If I could just give her a ring on the telephone.
Well, yes.
You don't mind me raising this. It is after 3:10.
Yeah, but won't your phone be underwater? I mean, immersed, inundated.
Well, it's upstairs.
How can I put it to you? Can we, without commitment, bring a bit of flexibility to bear?
If I could just give her this minimum assurance.
Yeah, all right, but... Just, theoretically, turn the problem up the other way. Should we perhaps consider leaving well alone as far as the sluice is concerned? And, well, be a bit flexible about your wife.
let her go. Get another woman.
I love her, Mr. Bullfrog. Mm. I don't want to lose her. I desperately don't want to lose her. I'm also fond of Mrs. Ponting.
Oh, I see.
No, I don't mean
no,
that.
No, please. One has learned not to be disappointed by the public. And you, Mr. Pike, your private morals apart, do at least have some sense of reality. 99% of the people who come in here, you can't talk to them. I just get up and hit them. Mm-hmm. That's why I was telling you about Pisser Harris.
Mr. Bullfrog, I'm not interested in Pisser Harris.
Yes, it sounds irrelevant, doesn't it? With your house sinking and your ladies about to take to the birds. But just bear. When I came out of hospital, they gave me a job away from the public, shifting cook in the yard. Then one Monday, I reported to the medical officer I called for a checkup. Not in the least. He had an office ready for me, an empty desk. "You're back on the chest x-ray," he said. I jumped through the window if he hadn't restrained me. He chucked some x-ray plates on my desk. "I want you to have a word with one of the patients." You know what's coming, Mr. Pike?
Yes.
So did I. Pisser Harris. "Don't quake," the doctor said. "Look at these plates. They were appalling." "Are these Harris's?" I said. He didn't say yes. He didn't say no, the medical officer. He just smiled and walked out. The wise old bird. The municipal quack.
If I could telephone...
Yeah, I'll get you a number in a minute. So, I hand Harris his x-ray plates. I say nothing. "What do they mean?" he says. I just shake my head. "Tell me," he says. "What do they mean?" I just waited. And then I threw the big one. "They mean, Pisser, old cock, that you've filled your last pot." He's still alive. He's a cabbage. Ah, look, I'm holding him up. No, please, dial your number.
Thank you. Lavinia, look, Pet, it's going to be all right. No, not quite, but we're moving towards it. Well, not in so many words, Pet, but... Look, I'm in the Ombudsman's office. Yeah, I'll call you in 10 minutes. Bye, sweet. Keep your feet dry. Don't let Mama get waterlogged. Yeah.
It's not the right thing, but it's better than keeping it bottled up. It's better than working out the cubic capacity of a mass grave whenever you see a football crowd. And it's better than counting people's gold teeth when they come in to pay the rates.
What?
Oh, I'm criticized, you know, for getting stuck into the public. If I could show them all x-ray plates, I would, but I'm out of the health department now. I'm the ombudsman. I don't have the backing of medical science any longer. It's crude, but it's effective. I hit them.
Well, I'm not criticizing.
No, you're an exception. Then a snooper pitches up from the Daily Express, trying to put words into my mouth. I hit him so hard, he cannoned round three walls and left a broad, damp trail where they dragged them down the corridor. Too much beer, snooker.
What Mrs. Pike was asking specifically...
The town clerk was in here last week. Sublimated a bit, he said, among the young ladies in the typing pool. All right. But I fancy older women, bigger women that can give you a bit of a wrestle for your money. Yeah, make an evening of it. Not just once like a budgie, then fishing into the handbags for the fags. Yeah, nice enough, girls, but I'm not going to break training for sluts like that. Ombudsman Bullfrog. Oh, it's for you.
Hello? Yes, love, yes. Well, please, tell Mama it's difficult to be more specific. Please, be patient. Please, don't be persuaded to go away. We're exploring it, my dearest, from all angles.
That's right. From all angles.
That was the Ombudsman himself, dear. Yeah. Well, I wish you wouldn't press me. All right, what can I say? And please, Let it go at this for now. We are approaching agreement in principle as a first and entirely temporary emergency step to phase the sluice in such a way that we're not swilled out. I think I can say that, Ombudsman Bulfer?
Give me the phone. Mrs. Pike, he can say that, but it's not true. Your case is sub judice. But there are problems. Well, there's no green card. Please, don't interrupt. You tell me your house is flooded. I tell you that officially your house doesn't exist. Now, get off the line. Your case is under active consideration. Your husband's here. We're on the same wavelength. I'm not going to punch him, but I cannot produce rabbits out of a hat. Goodbye.
Mr. Bullfrog...
If we're going to combat illusions, Mr. Pike, we mustn't start by raising them amongst the ladies.
Mr. Bullfrog, we did say that the house...
Ah, now that itself is an illusion. There is no house.
Mr. Bullfrog, you saw it through the binoculars.
Binoculars?
The house is there.
It's not shown on the official map.
But we're on the electors' roll. I mean, the electricity board send bills. Mm-hmm. Jehovah's Witnesses call... We have the amateur gardener delivered.
Officially, on the surveyor's map. I mean, I get a buzz about these things before the public turn up. On the surveyor's map, your house does not exist.
But it does exist. The electricity board.
Look, between ourselves, Mr. Pike, the surveyor is excessively bureaucratic. But, now, let's be realistic. The electricity board isn't going to help us. The surveyor... may hold his water. The electricity board, with the best will in the world, can't do it for him. Neither can the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well, I only want to assure the ladies.
And I want to assure everybody who comes into this office. I mean, that's my job. But we have to get rid of illusions. We have to come down to common sense.
But the ladies...
No. They're irrational beings.
Yes, but...
You know, quite often I get as good as I give...
I don't understand.
The best fight I ever had was with a man 85 years old. He was a brick.
The lady...
And his lady. By God, she stood by him. Reminded me very much of you and Mrs. Pike in your old age. Now, they had a greenhouse, too. Yeah, with rosy cheeks. Retired military gentleman. Captain Hazeldine. Well, some of the lads from the highways department had stoved in their greenhouse pane. His bohool. He solemnly took his spot and handed it to his old Dutch. She rolled up his cuff for him. And he took up a stance. Just where you're sitting now. Orthodox, you know, left hand. Anyway, I ambled round to him. I mean, if I'd been a smoker, I'd have offered him a fag. He let go a lead like a whip crack. Bang, on the end of the minnows. Then two more and a miss with his right. So, I hit him a couple of times. Not hard, but just to let him know I was there. By God, he caught me. And if he'd followed it up, it would have been all over. People started coming in from everywhere. There's a crowd sitting on this desktop. Windowsill, full of spectators. Very cautiously into the second round. And into the third. Not much action, just weighing each other up. But the tension. People streaming in from McDonald's bakery across the road. Covered in flour. All the atmosphere. Well... That bit of exhibitionism in me responded to it. I'd stopped sparring and I wasn't looking for points either. I was waiting to land the big one. And the crowd behind me, thousands of them, growling to see me flatten. Then I saw a note. I stepped inside its lead and threw my right over the top. Head and back as I'd broken his neck across the stick. I could have killed him, but by God, he bounced straight back, right, left, and left again. I thumped him, blow for blow. Signs gauntled him in, just slugging. People from the bakery and the Marquis of Queensbury in the front row, banks of people in the darkness, right up to the rim of the stadium, and me and Captain Hazeldine going into the tent. 11th, and the 12th down there. In that little pool of light, thunderstorm. It wasn't a good last round, but by God, they were appreciated. Neither of us could have taken one, and neither of us could throw one either. Punished out completely. Right eye cut, left swollen up. I could barely see. I was just hanging on, pulling. Him with his nose wrecked and all his teeth knocked out. We'd a full minute to go when the applause began. Eyes blind, head full of cotton wool, floating datelessly, floating on a sea of sound. All of them. He'd won. Police and photographers in his corner, his old Dutch with a rosy cheek still holding his tweed sports coat. I've won more than 400 fights. I've got a sideboard full of trophies. But there's none I'm more proud of than losing that night to the captain. Ombudsman Bullfrog. For you. The lady seems a bit agitated.
Hello, love. No. Look, love, Lavinia, there's just been a little hold-up. Calm down. They've opened the sluice again. Water's surging through the bedroom.
Wow.
Please, love, don't do anything hasty. Don't take to the boat. No, really, my love, please. Climb onto the roof of your alarm, my angel. Get a firm grip on the guttering and swing your leg up. Tug Mama up to the chimney pots. No. Oh, no, please, Lavinia. Lavinia. She's hung up. She's leaving me. She's rowing to the fisherman.
Is she? We'll have a ringside seat. Watch the end of the saga through the binoculars. Oh, my word, they're off already. Must have been packed up and everything when they found. The old lady's stepping into the boat. Oops, dearie. Bit wobbly. Now, a handbag. Mrs. Pike's sparking the cat over. You didn't mention you had a cat. And now, Mrs. Pike. Pushing off. A nice stroke for a lady. There he is, gentlemen. He's lighting his pipe and waiting. He's baking his hook.
Oh, please, I must stop her. Mr. Bullfrog, will you drive me round to the far bank?
Happily. Now, what can you say that you haven't said on the telephone?
Well, just some assurance. Just you being there in your car. Just so she can see that I'm trying in a practical way.
Ah, now this is what the green card is all about. The green card is the practical way.
Please, Mr. Bullfrog, that is tomorrow. Yeah. My wife is leaving me here, now, this moment. She's rowing to the fisherman.
It doesn't sound probable.
You've just this moment seen it through your binoculars.
Sounds like a Victorian water painting.
It is a fact.
There are facts and facts.
My wife rowing away is a fact. You fighting an 85-year-old man at a Houston Astrodome is not a fact.
I see.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be insulting.
All right. And I don't mean to be heartless. Now, this is the whole business of relativity, Pike. This is the whole business that I bruise my knuckles day after day to teach the dogmatic public. It's no debate to have two people shouting out their illusion. No, we need firm ground under our feet. We need the green card. Please, Mr. Pike. No, don't worry. It's so unmanly and embarrassing. You've got a strong case. And between these four walls, you're going to win it.
Win it? Win it? I've lost her. Do you not understand?
Well, the green card will be a new beginning. Tomorrow, Mrs. Burgess will be here. I shall be here at 9 o'clock. At 5 past, you have my word, that card will be filled in. Now, Mr. Pike, cut that out. That's hysterical. Now, leave your particulars. First thing tomorrow morning, the green card will be filled in. Now,
Mr. Pike, no, you don't.
Come on. Pull yourself together. No, no. The name, address, occupation, that sort of thing. Pike, pull yourself together. That's better. Now, what's your name?
Pisser Harris.
In The Enlightenment of the Strawberry Gardener, Bullfrog was played by Bill Fraser and Pike by Roy Kinnear. The play was produced in Leeds by Tony Cliff.